I'd hope you'd turn in your outlines in the bulletin here and follow along with me. Jesus blesses a small lunch taken from our passage in John chapter 6. Following along in sequence, we've covered four miracles now, and this being the fourth one, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Well, as we come to this passage, it's very interesting that this is recorded in all four Gospels. The Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record this miracle, as does John. And the commentators tell us that out of all the other miracles, both this feeding of the 5,000 and the resurrection are the two miracles that are included in all four Gospels. So here we see something quite significant in way of this passage. So as we look at this morning, would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed welcome in this place. You sent your Holy Spirit. You ascended on high long ago, but Lord, you descended in way of giving us your Holy Spirit to comfort, to guide, to bless, to empower your church as a witness unto all nations. Lord God, we thank you that you've blessed us here this morning, that you've called us by your Spirit to come to hear your word, to speak into our lives. We pray that through your power, through your Spirit, through your word spoken to us this morning, that you would enliven us. Oh Lord, may these dead bones, this flesh, get the breath of life of the Spirit of God upon it, that we might indeed be messengers, be all that you have called us to be as your servants to the nations. Thank you for indwelling us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for enlivening us this morning as we come to your word and we hear about you and about the miracles that you performed in way of these gospels that we read and we hear. Lord, we look at John chapter 4 today and ask your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 6, verse 1 through 15, says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far sea of Galilee, there in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "What shall we buy? Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wage to buy enough food for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down there where plenty of grass in that place," and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is a passage of scripture that we read and we account here as being the fourth miracle that John has assigned to us in way of the other miracles to record and to identify who is this one, this Jesus, this one that is making disciples. Jesus' intention here is not that he be seen the breadbasket of the world, but rather that he be seen as the bread of life. And he records that for us in John chapter 6, verse 63, or 34 at 5, sorry. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." Of course, this is the sermon for next Sunday, so I'm not going to preach particularly on that today. But I'm going to look at this understanding of the significance of who Jesus is as the bread of life in way of this miracle today. We must have the backdrop, I believe, as well of the Old Testament and how the people of Israel had wandered in the desert for 40 years, and the only bread they had was the bread that God delivered unto them. And that's recorded to us in Exodus and throughout the book of Exodus, but Exodus 16:4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.'" It is God Himself that provides bread from heaven for the people to eat. Fast forward to Jesus' day. They saw the sign, but they didn't really see the signs, if you get my drift. They were looking clearly at the miracles, amazing miracles. Water turned to wine. Healings come before their eyes. But yet in seeing them, they didn't really see the one that it was really all about. We talk a little bit about having hearing impediments in our day. And just a couple weeks ago, we had someone come to our church here from Success, and they delivered to us some instructions on how to understand hearing and the importance of hearing. I didn't attend the seminar, but I understand that there was an offering of 12 places where people could come, sign up, and get their hearing tested. And I thought that was right on, because today we're all wearing earbuds and listening to so much media out there. It's quite easy for us to damage our hearing, not alone the jackhammers and everything else in our modern world that shakes our world with sound all the time. Well, I don't think it was a couple Sundays ago that I was standing at the back and a gentleman came up to me and shook my hand and said, "Pastor Larry, I'm so glad to hear that, these things are happening in our church. And, I have a hearing problem. At least my wife tells me I have a hearing problem. It's kind of selective hearing, I must admit. Do they have a seminar on that?" And I said, "I'm sorry, but I think that's a male-dominated kind of hearing problem, you know, that selective hearing kind of situation." But when it comes to the sign, I think people had selective seeing. They wanted to see the miracle. They wanted to see the great event happen. And amazing as it was, they saw it and were amazed at those things. And so the crowds started to amass, and they wanted to see this Jesus. And there he was out in the desert to have some alone time. And yet they chased him down, found him out. And there they came over the hillside, all of them, masses of people. They said, you know, about 5,000, but this was just in way of direction of men. Probably if we number in the children and the women in the figure, the scholars tell us could well amount to over 20,000 people that were on the hillside that day and sitting down in what was grass, as much as grass could be grown in the desert. So there they were gathered, so many people. And Jesus was telling them and signifying to them the importance of himself. He wanted them to see and direct their focus and their attention to him. He came to give them a sign, but yet I think they missed the clearest sign. I mean, when we are driving and we see a sign on the side of the highway, you know, danger, rocks falling, we don't look at that sign and say, aha, honey, there's some rocks falling right there, that sign, you know. No, it's not the sign that's the rocks falling. We got to watch for something else, you know, the obvious falling of those rocks. And so people were getting confused between the sign and what the sign was actually pointing to. The sign points to something greater than what the sign actually is. And so we have the miracle, but we don't ooh and ah over the miracle. We ooh and ah over what it points to, that being Jesus himself, the miracle worker. I love what John Piper says about this, and he quotes John 1:14 again for us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he says, and shining down from that glory is like a beam of glory shining from Christ, the glorious, eternal, divine Son of God, a beam shining down, and it lands. And when it lands, it produces 5 loaves and a few fish, enough food to feed 5,000 people. He creates out of nothing food to feed 5,000 people. And the sign is meant to do this. Your eyes belong on the landing of the beam, and then your eyes should walk up the beam to the origin of the beam, that being Christ himself. Well, secondly here, Jesus' equation is funky. Jesus' equation is funky. Sorry for my terminology, my slang here, but 2 plus 2 equals 5 in Jesus' book. I think if he was in grade school and he answered the question, you know, 2 plus 2, it equals 5. He wouldn't have lasted too long in elementary school. But this is Jesus we're speaking of. It seems like his addition is different than our addition. Science and math have different properties for Jesus. He asks Philip, where shall we buy enough food for all these people to eat? You see, Philip was from Bethsaida, the area that Jesus was in, so naturally he would ask Philip that question. Where's the local 7-Eleven that we could go down there and purchase enough food for these people? And immediately, Philip takes out his mental calculator and starts equating how many people are here, how much food that's going to cost. And he looks and he says to Jesus, it's not computing, Jesus. I mean, they could all just get, you know, just one tiny little taste, a smackerel, a lick of that sandwich, of that barley loaf, and that's going to be it. I mean, come on, it's not going to work. 2 plus 2 equals 4, Jesus. It's not going to happen. And Jesus opens his arms, drawing them in. Andrew, Simon's brother, Simon Peter's brother, says, here's a young boy. Look at this. He's got 5 loaves and a couple of fish, Jesus. We can use those. We can use those. Jesus' equation is totally different than our natural equation. Verse 7 says, it takes more than half a year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Yet Jesus stretches out his hands, and he doesn't pull a food truck out of his sleeve. He doesn't even look at them and say to them, abracadabra, right? There's no magic phrase that he does. His equation is so different, and yet the disciples are waiting for the penny to drop. They know this Jesus, he's a strange one. There's something going to happen here. We're not quite sure what. the five loaves, the two fishes, everybody getting a bite, what's going to happen? Jesus is waiting for the answer from them. Jesus is waiting for the answer. But Jesus, you can do something, right? Jesus takes the loaves, takes the fishes in hand. And the other gospels say that he looks into heaven and he offers a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanks towards God his Father, and then says, go and distribute the food to all the people. We can't just equate the normal accounting. Really here, I believe there's not just one miracle, a fourth miracle, but really 20,000 miracles that happen as each one takes a piece of that barley loaf and some fish and starts to consume it and has their fill. And has their fill. Somehow the Holy Spirit has transformed that small lunch and blessed it so much so that 20,000 people, 20,000 times, each stomach is filled. And each person looks up to heaven and says, wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. I ask myself, I wonder why not sushi, you know? Why not chocolate, you know? I mean, bless. And then, whew, there's a chocolate bar. Wow. But those people might not have known what a chocolate bar was, right? They knew what fish and barley was. That was a natural meal to them. Well, thirdly here, Jesus loves to engage us in his work. Simon Peter, Andrew's brother, found that boy in verse 8. And no matter how little the offering or sacrifice, Jesus uses that little and makes it much. There is a verse of scripture somewhere like that in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. We read at verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Isn't that the Holy Spirit? God works in partnership with his people. God looks for our faith. Trust God for the supernatural, the extraordinary. God looks for our sacrifice, our generosity, even if it's as small as a couple of barley loaves and two fish. He doesn't produce sushi or chocolate, not because he couldn't, but because it would seem strange and misunderstood. Everybody knows what a sardine is. Well, probably they wouldn't call it sardine in that day, but they would know two small fish. And barley loaves? Barley loaves were the lowest grade of bread in that day. It wasn't something extravagant, but it was sufficient. Jesus wasn't spreading a feast. He was simply making ends meet for a large crowd. God looks for fulfilling the needs of his people. And when we do our best and leave the rest to God, smallness doesn't matter. The difference is made up by God. And that is a big deal. It's significant that John mentions that Jesus gave thanks. By these words and actions, he directs the hungry people towards God, not towards the meal. From the simple thank you, Lord, for his food, to a complex prayer of, Lord, thank you for the food before us, the family and friends beside us, and the love between us. Amen. Whatever our prayer is, if it's given with a thankful heart, it is given with much blessing. The power of blessing is added measure. The extravagance of thanks and blessing is that the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls, 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Verse 14 and verse 15 relates that the mob's design was to make Jesus king as a result of this. There are followers and then there are followers. There is such a thing as Rice Christians, or those that are bought with favors, or the prosperity gospel. All point to Jesus as kind of a magic pill or a slot machine. Put your coins in and you get out what you want. They see Jesus as a meal ticket. They have designs on him to fulfill their wishes, their dreams, their expectations. There's a difference here between you and I and being with Jesus and the Lord being the Lord. This is a thin red line, and it goes through the very heart of the matter and our very hearts, doesn't it? Are we making Jesus Lord, or are we making him just our provider, the one that is there to make our world a little easier to live in, our blessing? If indeed he is Lord, we need to glorify him no matter what. This all relates to Pentecost Sunday. The power of God through the Holy Spirit's work in the church. God only blesses and empowers what is of him and for him. His purpose is to send the gospel to all people. As we engage in God's work as the church, he promises to fulfill our need for power, our need for courage, our need for strength. I love what Hudson Taylor says on this score. He says, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. What we need most, brothers and sisters, is God's Holy Spirit. And so Luke 11, verse 11 and 13, this is the promise. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you desire the Holy Spirit? Do you hold up your cup and ask, Lord, fill my cup. Give me what I lack, what I need for this day. We offer him our small barley loaves, our two fish. They look pretty meager. I know what God can do with that, what God could do with me. But Lord, I offer it to you. And amazingly, amazingly, it has power to reach 5,000 people, have them well fed. God says a spring of water will well up within our souls and nourish and feed the thirst of thousands. Do you believe that today? Do you trust your barley loaves? Or do you trust the funky equations of Jesus? I pray for lots of funkiness in this congregation, that we can go forth and trust him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to do a reading now from the hymnody, and I don't have one up here, so you'll need to find the hymn book today. I don't know if there's an extra one back here. Here's the next one. Thank you so much. We're going to turn in our back of our hymnody and do an antiphonal reading. Maybe I should get on my liturgical scarf here. All right. Let's stand together. And at the back of your hymnodies, at the very back, you'll find number 13. And it's there inscribed with the words, I'm just about there. How come my fingers aren't working this morning? There we go. The power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read the light print, and you're going to read the dark print. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Okay, I think we need some practice with that. But good try. Good try. Okay, we're going to put away our hymn books and we're going to look up to Pastor Joe and Monique as we're closing song.
Jesus is our providence, the one who provides for us. He doesn't give us to be extravagant. He gives us what we need. Than I know, you're my.
From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to thank Jim for the stole. Tells me he bought this in Jerusalem. So this is from the Holy City. So I'm feeling a little closer to God and all the rest. I think this is wonderful. I think, you know, one of the great things about worship is that we all worship a little differently. And sometimes colors really bring home the truth. And John the Baptist said that the Lamb of God will come and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire upon you. And that was fulfilled in the fire that alighted upon the church through the Holy Spirit's presence. The Holy Spirit is still amongst us, still lighting us on fire, bringing us to the world. And the red marks that for us, describes that for us, that we are hot. Okay, well, we won't go there. But you know what I'm getting at. God is to make us a people that are glorious for his name. Amen? Amen. Well, as you look into your bulletins today, I just want to remind you of a few things. Our adult Sunday school class is happening today. The Women of Grace are having their Women Helping Women with Velma. And our foundation class will be upstairs as well with myself. Our baby bottle thing is coming to a conclusion on Father's Day, another two Sundays away. So if you haven't grabbed a bottle yet, there's still a few bottles out on the out in the foyer there that you can pick up. You just need one. Throw in some loose change or maybe a check or a couple bills is sufficient. All goes to support mothers who are in a difficult place in their life and are considering, you know, aborting the child or carrying the pregnancy to term. You can make that difference by offering counseling through Pregnancy Concern and giving towards this good cause. And also, we want to point out to you, next Sunday, we have an installation. We're installing a pastor, so bring your hammer and nails. Wei Feng is going to be installed here at 2:30 in our church, and it's very exciting, coming all the way from Halifax, here, our Cantonese pastor. So you'll want to be here for that. Our day camp and VBS things are going on, and I saw Samson outside there with his mom at the table and a few other people milling around. You'll want to sign up for our VBS and our day camps coming up. Also, our core workers retreat. I've been negligent. This has been in the bulletin for about 2 weeks, two Sundays previous, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but this Sunday I'm mentioning it. All those that are serving in the church, from Sunday school people to whoever, you are welcome to attend this co-workers retreat. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer on the table. Please sign up. Lunch will be provided. Pastor May is doing all the cooking or arranging for the food to come. It's right here at our church, so we don't need to go anywhere, but I hear the food is going to be amazing. Not only the physical food, but the spiritual food as well. So please mark your place for that in the foyer by signing up if you're a leader or a worker or a helper here in our church. Our cleanup of our lost and found box is happening, so please, if you've got any items in there, quickly retrieve them. I'm on holidays at the end of June here. Helpers are needed. Please pray about what you can do in way of our youth and our children's ministries. We would love for you to come alongside Pastor Joe, Pastor May, and volunteer in way of our fellowship meetings or our Sunday school program beginning in the fall. With those, let's be in prayer as we dismiss ourselves, and may God bless you as you go into your week.